Welcome back to another episode of Girl Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Suger, and today's episode is on post-breakup hacks from yours truly. Welcome back. So we're back with a brand new season. This whole season is going to be about how to make really good decisions. I know a lot of my podcasts are about this, but each episode I'm going to try and put into the most asked questions in the community group. Today I come with a list of things around the most popular question, what are the best ways to get over a breakup? How do you break attachments? How do you improve yourself? So I'm going to go into a lot of those things, but the first thing that I want to make very clear is that there is no one size fits all for everyone, because we've all experienced different things growing up and through our life experience. And I am a firm believer that you should always trust how things have went for you in your own individual path, that the universe wanted those things to go the way they went up until now, up until wherever you are in your life. Everything has been the way it should have been for you to get here. So it's really important to embrace whatever has happened and to not ignore it or not feel the good feelings and the bad feelings that have come. And knowing how to navigate from past experiences to get in alignment with the highest version of yourself is literally your birthright. It's everyone's birthright. So at the end of the day, we are all the same. Our birthright is to reach our highest self, and the highest version of yourself is there. It's in everyone, and it's all about understanding coming to the understanding and the awakening of what that is. And a lot of people get stuck and unhappy because of current relationships, friendships, family, whatever it is, even yourself, your relationship with yourself. And all of these things hold a huge amount of either positive enhancements to your highest self, or they can really take you further away from being your highest self. So it's really important to understand that everything is how it's supposed to be. And the only thing that I feel like I'm doing is sharing my experience and my understanding to reaching my highest version of myself, and sharing what I've learned from, I guess, the most popular question is because everyone has experienced, I guess, some sort of relationship with anyone. And a lot of the time people find themselves very stuck or lost or unsure about how to really detach and let go and actually feel hopeful and positive and excited about the future. So I'll go into my relationship first of all, and I will explain some of the things that I discovered after getting out of a long-term relationship. So up until just under 2 years ago, I was in two relationships for my whole life from when I was 16. So I had never, ever been single. This was probably one of the most rattling and transformative and just really confusing times in my life. And although I ended both relationships, I was still, after the second one, very all over the place. But this was for my best self to be found, basically. This was literally the biggest awakening of my life, and I'm so happy with the decision now. It was correct. It's unlocked just an amount of abundance. It's just incredible. But I did make some mistakes in the beginning, because of course I highly regard any decision that I make, including the people in my life. I've never had a toxic relationship, and every single person that's ever been close in my circle has been somebody I really valued, and I stand by that for the rest of my life. That's how it's always going to be. So I'm going to go through some lows if those things don't work out, and that's exactly what happened. But a few of the mistakes that I did make, if you are upset or you're feeling lost or you're like grieving or whatever it might be, was that I, after my breakup, I stayed in the house that we shared, and for months. I should not have done that. I should have left the house and moved away and went probably overseas and just into fresh soil straight away. Being in the same environment was adding to my sadness, even though I didn't realize it. I was pretty distracted for months because I was doing a comp prep, and it's so easy to like distract yourself with work or going out or whatever it might be. Some people take the party route, some people just like overdo it, like whatever, addictions. I went into a comp prep, so I was like full focus, in my element, back to myself. Didn't even think about the breakup at all. Like, literally did not come into my mind. I just didn't think about it for months, and it was so fresh. And this was a massive problem because I basically was avoiding my feelings, and I was putting it, all of my emotions, way too quickly into something that I hadn't even processed. And I think sometimes when you're in an environment that you've literally spent years of your life with somebody, and I understand this may not be possible if you've got kids and this is your family house, but even just taking a break away kind of soon is a pretty good move, just to kind of like get yourself to see like something other than like where you've been and where like all of this ended. It's just like, that was a really big mistake. I should have left so much sooner than I did. And the next thing that I would say that I didn't do is, and something I'm still trying to learn, is to not isolate myself when I'm not my best, happiest self. I do not like going to people with me just being down or in grief. So I will isolate myself, and I will turn to things like reading and just learning, which is not a bad thing, but it's basically avoidance. And it's like not good, because I can, you know, that can be a very damaging thing, particularly when I have the most supportive, kind, loving family and friends that were pleading with me to just come to them. And I waited until I was like a much better version of myself to see them. So I would definitely never do that again. But with any new feelings and any new levels or depths of emotion, it's so hard to confront them around other people when you've never experienced this before. Every time you do something new, or every time you make a bigger decision than you've ever made before, I think what I've come to realize is that you're going to experience new feelings and new depths of emotion that you've never experienced before. So that is pretty much, I think, what intuitively people hold themselves back from making big decisions. Like, it's for that reason. It's because we know something that we don't know is coming with this big decision. And that can often be terrifying. And when you get there, it actually is. And everyone's got every single right to, I think, hold themselves back in a lot of ways, because sometimes I've made decisions and they've hit me emotionally so hard and mentally that I've been like, oh my goodness, like, why did I do that? And what I have learned from it is that there can be some peace, and you can calm down and understand it. I think understanding what's actually happening and putting it into simple terms is the easiest way to kind of overcome it quicker and make it like doable and processable and fixable, and like you can heal. Whereas, because I'm someone that kind of has to come to my own conclusion, which I'm pretty sure most people do, I isolate myself until I found some clarity within. And I think this is a positive, but it's also a longer, like, it takes longer than what it really needs to. Instead, you can just trust somebody from the outside, whether it's a podcast like this, which is why I'm making it, because I think a lot of people probably do what I did when they reach like new levels of despair or negative emotions, and they just tend to like go MIA and disappear. And this is something that I realized is catastrophic for connection. It really destroys connection in all forms, even with yourself. You become disconnected from the world and disconnected from everyone, and you're left with your own emotions and you can't even figure them out, and you have no outside guidance and nobody that's soothing you a little bit to remind you that whatever it is that's going on, there's other things and other people that care about you and that love you and that never want you to feel alone. And a breakup is a very, very like common situation where people get into a serious, like, if you're being really honest and you're not being selfish, rebounding and using somebody else, other people as a tool to soothe you and distract you and sort of take care of all your emotional baggage. For people that are genuinely careful in that sense, which I would consider myself to be, you can be isolated for a long time and sitting in that trauma or that grief and really trying to come to an understanding. And so the number one thing that I would say is definitely don't do that. It's really important. That would never happen ever again, that you are comfortable asking for help and demanding help. Because this was, my mom is the most overly like on top of me, like always asking about every single detail of my life. She'll spend 24 hours on the phone with me. She will, if I asked her to fly to the other side of the world, do it in one day. My family would do anything for me. And I think because I know that's there, I sometimes want to see if I can just do it myself. But that also is just not helpful, because sometimes you can end up wasting a lot of time that would be more, it would just be easier for you to just reach out and ask for help. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing it with anyone around you, go to therapy or just something, because being alone in those situations is not okay. It wasn't for long for me. It was like 2 months where I just went very MIA, but that's still quite a long time. You know, it's a long time to just be sad on your own. And that makes me really sad to think that other people might have done that. And it probably was even longer. So don't do that if that's you. That was a big mistake. The other thing was moving on too quick. As soon as I kind of came out of that, I was like, okay, I need to date again. And then I sort of like realized, okay, like it's probably, you know, I had some really nice guys that were interested, and that I was also like, yeah, like they seem really nice and stuff. And then I think what happened with me was I hadn't really processed the fact that my whole life was going to change. And I didn't really, I had an idea, but I also didn't, the way I did the breakup was very much like, it was in the back of my mind, but it was also like, I would say, I don't think you're ever really prepared for it to be actually gone. So it was kind of like all of the things that I had done and built upon, and we had like everything shared and just familiarity and just everything, family, it was like my family, my best friend, everything, right? That was all just vanished. And I was just like, oh my God. And I think, you know, when you start dating again, you can go into a bit of like being a girl, you're so used to having that like guy that looks after you all the time and cares for you and is always checking on you and knows that where you are and like if you're okay. It was just, I kind of was in a panic. And I think when you're in a panic, you're more likely to settle for somebody that's probably good, but it's very unlikely that in that state you're going to find like the best, like the best partner, the best match. You're going to obviously attract people that are also probably in a bit of the same vibration. And then, you know, you get involved with somebody and you realize that you're not emotionally currently available fully to the best that you can be. Like you haven't like reached your highest self by yourself. And so it's really important, no matter how long you were in a relationship for, to try and aim to be the highest version of yourself and actually start being comfortable, not getting too comfortable being alone to the point where you're super selfish and just unreasonable, but to the point where you know that what you're going for and what people are getting in return is the best version of who you can be at that point in time, with the aim to always improve. So I wouldn't rush into too many, into a commitment too quickly, because you do need time to establish it. At the same time, if you think you've met the one, then obviously don't mess that opportunity up, and try and be open in your communication, and to try trust them, and to, you know, explain where you're at and things like that, I think is really important. Just take it slow. So those are the mistakes. But then I want to move on to the good things that I did. I think it's really important to, this is like a prime time to get wrapped up in like a cult and to try and like, I think anyone that's really passionate about things outside of themselves are avoiding a part of themselves that they neglect. Like, you see a lot of people and they've got this random deep diving obsession with like saving the world, saving our future children, which I think is good. I'm into it. I'm all for it. But having that as a primary focus while inside there's something about you that you're avoiding or neglecting, like a lot of the time, especially in this period that I was alone, you know, I went around the world and, you know, I met a lot of people. I have done this for 12 years and I learn a lot through observation, not just from my own mistakes, but also like looking at like why people do certain things, and knowing a little bit about someone's personal life can really open up a lot of things as to why they're so passionate about another thing. And this is why you should be really careful about where you take advice from, because a lot of people go out and they give advice, and it's at the same time that they're giving advice, they're neglecting a part of their own life. Like, for example, you could have a guy at home that's cheating on you and disrespecting you and being the worst kind of boyfriend that anyone could imagine, talking to other girls, just going off and doing whatever they want, and then suddenly you've got this massive driving force to save the world in one particular area when you're literally avoiding what's the truth of what's happening in your own personal life. Your impact in other people has to come from an authentic, really high version of yourself. Because if you're not at least aiming and doing every action possible, you're being dishonest with yourself and you're being very dishonest with anyone else around you. The reality of life is like, you can only really meet the world or people or anything as far as you've met yourself. And as we venture through life, we're going to keep, and we're so aware of this, we're going to realize like, oh my God, in 10 years from now, I'm going to look back at this period of my life, I'm going to be like, I thought I knew it all. But I know I don't, you know, I know I don't. I'm only speaking to the point of where I am at this very moment in time. And understanding that there are so many other levels of knowledge and depth and experiences and kids that I have to have and all of those kind of things. There are new worries that I've never experienced, and there are new levels of fear and new levels of grief. A lot of that is to come. And I know that. So some of you would have already experienced that. So it's very hard for me to kind of give you like a full life experience unless I'm 80 and I've been through it all. But I can give you some like positive like ideas, I guess, and ways to navigate based on what I have done that was good. And this kind of allows you to really trust yourself and pour into yourself and really do that first before you start taking on causes and going to charity and volunteering at, you know, this thing or that thing. And if you haven't really like become and done the things that really matter to you, you're really just avoiding yourself. And that is going to lead you to accept and settle for really low grade friendships and relationships, careers. Like, just, you're going to always be looking outside going, that person is so lucky. Why are they so lucky? Why is that person getting that and I'm not? And you're just going to become resentful of the things, or else you're just going to dismiss the things in your life, because inside you're always going to know they're not satisfactory. Like, you can ask a 10-year-old what they think of anything, and they'll give you a straight answer, because there's no agenda, there's no avoidance, they've not got any other understanding other than their own needs. And that gets deconditioned as we get older. And people always say like, this is very narcissistic way to look at the world, but it's not. Like, it's narcissistic when you cannot empathize with other people and you don't feel other people's feelings. That means obviously you've got some sort of, issue, that's an issue, because it's going to really negatively impact your significant other and your friendships and just your customers and clients and just everything. If you can't understand where someone else is coming from and truly feel that, like step into that position. But you don't want to do that so much to the point where you neglect yourself. There's a balance. Like, you're gonna end up disrespected. So that's one of the things I would never do. I've never done it. My mom and dad always used to say it when I was a child, that I was always very loving and very understanding, but I always knew my place. I always said no, and I was really good at it. And I think you've got to say no to filling that void quickly and with just anything. Instead, you've got to like get yourself to a strong enough position where you know and you trust God or the universe or whoever you believe in that's above you, because it is out there. And you've got to actually say, what do you want from me? Like, what is it at this point in time do you want me to give to myself that I could otherwise use a void to fill, that is not actually what my highest self would want. That's not what my highest self would align with. Like, at the end of the day, we attract what we are, not what we want. So if you're your worst version of yourself after a breakup, like desperate, in grief, trying to fill a void, like all of that stuff, you're going to attract exactly that back. If you're struggling with all of these addictions and you go out and you meet a partner, the likelihood is they're going to have some random addiction, but then they could be talking about all the other stuff that they're really great at. But at the end of the day, you have to look at like the truth. What is fact? And when you look at that and you see this person's mirroring exactly what you are and not what just they say, because a lot of words can be really convincing and a lot of people can sound really, really great, including me on this podcast. But the other thing is, you've got to understand and know people from a personal point and actually know, like, okay, what do they allow for themselves? Where are their boundaries? Like, does it align with the things that they preach and say they practice? Like, if you are spiritual, but you're saying you're spiritual and you're saying that you love yourself and you're saying that there's like all of this great things in the world, but then you settle for extremely poor behavior and you ignore it and you justify it by calling yourself an empath, for example, you're not. Like, you can never be so empathetic that you neglect yourself. Like, that is called allowing abuse. Like, this is something you cannot tolerate. You can't just fill voids, fill loneliness, think something outside of you is going to improve your life by neglecting yourself. It's just never going to work. You're spinning in a karma loop, and it's something I see so many girls doing and so many girls asking about, and it really is a matter of level of self-respect you have. I wouldn't smoke, I wouldn't do drugs, I wouldn't do anything to harm my body apart from push myself in training. I will do something, but it's not because it's like at the time I think it's going to harm me or I know it's going to harm me. Sometimes it's like I want to achieve this goal, and by doing this, it's going to take a little bit of pain or I might injure myself. And sometimes, you can do dangerous activities that may cause harm to you, but it may just be like a once in a lifetime experience. That's completely different to drinking every night to try to like ignore all your problems, to sedate yourself basically. You do not want to use sex or drugs or alcohol or any of that stuff to numb pain. You want to know the pain, you want to get to the bottom of curing it, and you want to look at strategies and systems and to learn discipline to enforce rules on yourself. You've got to do this. You've got to be like, you cannot be lazy and pathetic. You've got to be able to create your self-worth. You've got to. I've done this my whole life. There's no one ever outside of me that can talk me into or buy out my value. It's never going to happen. If anyone comes to me and is not truly enhancing my life and making me happier and adding positivity to my life, because that's already where I'm at, like pretty much 99% of my life, you need to leave. Like, I like will help anyone that's going through something. But if it's like a 50% negative and a 50% happy, it's not good enough. Like, this is where the lines get very blurred. If somebody's got all these great traits about them, and then they've got this really other side of them that's extremely negative, that cannot work, because you're pushing in pain and pleasure. And this is like going to get you into a horrific cycle of attachment and abuse and trauma. It's never, that is not healthy, and it should never be appropriate for anybody. So you need to understand that, and you need to understand what that will do to you over time. You need yin and yang, but you also need people to meet you at the level of your highest self. That includes your friendships, your family, everyone. You need to ask for that in order to get it. You need to ask the universe for it. You need to ask yourself for it. You need to ask your family for it. You need to explain what your requests are, where your boundaries are, and you need to give people the option in order to decide for themselves, like without trying to force anyone to do anything. But you need to tell them, and you need to be honest, and you need to say that you will leave and you will never look back, and that you don't give second chances, and you should never give second chances to anyone. Because I've never seen a situation of off on friendships, off on fighting, like you're fighting, or you're off with each other, or you've done this to each other, you're not talking for a bit, or you're cold, or you're distant, you're ignoring, you're muting each other, whether it's relationships or it's friendships or whatever. I've never seen that ever, 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 ever end well. Or it may not end, but it never is positive. You don't want to be walking around on eggshells around anyone. You want to feel comfortable. You want to feel safe. You want to feel happy. So don't go out filling voids, because that's what you're going to get. The other thing is that I did really well was meet new people. You've got to meet new people. You've got to be open. You've got to put yourself out there. When it comes to dating, I'm definitely somebody that doesn't want to waste any time, and guys don't mind it. I will usually have friend zoned a guy in within the first week, because the thing with dating is people talk and talk and talk and talk and talk online, and they do things and they come back and they go away and whatever. Now, in my earlier days, I didn't mind this because I was not emotionally available and not really wanting a relationship. So it's fine to like just chat and just chat. Some people are still good people, but around after the first week, I do friend zone guys for a number of reasons. One, their standards. I look at other girls that they're interested in, and I make an assumption as to whether or not I'm in that bracket. If I'm not, they're a friend. The other thing is their dating styles and suggestions. If they are a masculine, good man, they will want to make you happy. They'll want to provide for you. They'll want to take you out. They will do things that put them ahead of other guys, because every single girl in the world has a lot of guys. It doesn't matter whether you are a 2 or a 10, or you're successful or you're not. There is a lot of guys that you've got as options. And the reality is, if you are not seeing that, you just have not been putting yourself out there, which is what you need to do. The other thing is, you've got to be able to actually identify what a good man is, what an evolved one looks like. So for me, I have a non-negotiable. They have to have given me something in that first week for me to consider dating them on a second date. That can be taking me out somewhere really nice, buying me flowers, buying me something, doing something that shows that they put effort and they invest into things that they are wanting to have in their lives. Most guys that are successful understand that you have to work for what you want, and that includes their relationships, their friendships, every single thing that they value. And so anyone that's worth having, that will be an asset in your life, will value you, and they will put in effort into, you know, making sure that they leave a good impression on you. So that's what you want to be looking for. Otherwise, you need to just friend zone them quick and just get them off that list. The next thing is, I traveled a lot and I had some really great experiences, and I'd really write a bucket list of what you want to do and what you want to get out of the way, because you never know when you're going to be snapped up for life. Honestly, I was like on the, like, you should have seen me. I was like, I'm going to be married so soon. I'm going to have kids. And, you know, I was like, someone's going to come, because I just tend to always find my relationships out of nowhere. And I kind of had to say no, like, to some good people, actually, for a very long-term commitment, just based on extreme precision, because I was like, there's like, everything's right, but just one or two things were not. And I'm just trying to squeeze the last of like my non-committed life out. And at the same time, when I say I'm doing that, I am like doing it in a positive way. Like I'm definitely not, I would never sleep around or anything like that. Not to say that each to their own, it's not like I'm against it. Like for other people, it's just like I am a highly sensitive person. So any energy transfer, even in talking, can impact me negatively. And it's very rare that things outside of me can impact me in connection super positively. So I have to be very mindful just for my own peace of mind, because I just tend to carry energy around with me. So if I did that, I could end up just not in a good mental space. And it's actually been proven that women usually need to really like a guy, or at least love them, to find it enjoyable. You know, it's true though. Like I wouldn't want anyone like being intimate with me, like having that level of access without me wanting them, you know, like really wanting them as like I would have to like really love them type thing. So yeah, that's the way that I go about it. The next thing is I took some time off work. I let things really just take a backseat, and I just really focused on enjoying myself. And I think that was the best investment I've ever made. I used to be so focused on my work all the time, all my goals, all my bodybuilding shows, and it was just good to just take a backseat and to not. The next thing was I did focus a lot on myself. I made some really good rituals for myself. I focused on my beauty, like things I wanted to look like, better hair, better skin, better nails, better just everything. Infused my body with vitamins, treatments, spa days, everything you could imagine. This girl was getting it. So I demanded that. It's never going to stop. And that is just how I live my life now. And I kind of did that before as well, but I just do it like 10x at the moment. And I set way higher standards for every aspect of my life, living situations, places I go, people I meet, friends I have, places I want to stay, clothes I wear, shoes I wear, things I use, skincare, vitamins, supplements, food choices, restaurants that I eat at, men, when I was single, my standards were so high. I was like, you've got to be like in the 0.00001%, and I've got to know like what your family is like, and they've just got to be, I have a very high standard. And it's because I just never want to deal with, like, I've never dealt with it before, but I've seen people deal with toxic relationships. Like, at the end of the day, I'm very proud that none of the guys that I've ever dated called me even a name. I've never experienced it ever. No abuse. And I credit the guys, and highly, I think it's fantastic. Looks great on them. It shows the kind of character that they have. And that's the kind of person that you want. You never want friends that get comfortable being abusive either. Like, no, like that should never be allowed. This is your being. Like, you need to be like thinking of yourself as like your carer, your mom. Like, you are your own mom. And like, can you imagine seeing your little baby going into a relationship with somebody that you could perhaps choose for yourself because you're settling? You'd never want this precious person to do that. And that's how you got to think of yourself. Like, I think of my friends like this. Anyone that's really a media part of my life, I always look straight at them like they are a part of me or a part of something I cherish, and I always want them to be making the best decisions. And that's what I want for you guys too. Like, without you guys listening, this podcast would not even exist. I wouldn't even bother doing it. So yeah, that's what I would love to see for you guys. Like, it's really important. And the other thing that you want to do for dating that I did was I made a list of like what my ideal partner would be to have kids with, to marry, to be engaged to. And also as well, like when you're picking a partner, like you've got to be honest with them, and you've got to look at like what their own lifestyle choices are. And you've got to establish like what lifestyle that you want to live and what goals you have by yourself. Because some men like could be amazing. They could be hot. They could be really nice to you and stuff, but they might not. They might be very conservative and just might not want to live a certain lifestyle that you might want. But other men might want to live a certain lifestyle, but they might not have like the family values, or they might be like, you know, whatever the a bit of a like playboy or whatever, and that might not work for you. So you've got to really find like someone that is evolved and somebody that meets your everything on your list, pretty much everything. And if they don't, then you can obviously like talk about ways that they can improve. And you want to know as well that like they have made and thought about what they want in a partner and what they want in a longer term partner and who they want to settle down with and when and things like that. And you kind of want to ask like, oh, like, you know, if you were to get engaged, you want to ask questions, you want to probe a little bit, because the thing is, like, every girl out there has their dream wedding and has their, probably not every girl, but I do, that you have your dream wedding, you know what you want, you kind of know the rough cost of these things. And you obviously, like, if you have a dream wedding and then you marry a guy that's like, I don't see the value in a wedding, I'd rather do a honeymoon, and then your whole dream gets crushed by the love of your life, apparently. And because you don't even meet on that, it's like, okay, so now you're not going to get that. There's going to be a whole other list of things that you've probably dreamed of that this guy just doesn't see any value in. And some guys might not even want to get married, and they might not see the value in buying you the ring of your dreams or doing it in the place that you would love to do it. So you look on social media and you see all these women that get what they want and get the things that you want and you dreamed of. And then you've got something, but it's not what you want. So that's something you need to be very honest with yourself about. And you're not asking for too much. Like, it is your birthright to get the things that are coming into your mind as desires. Like, you are good enough as you are to get these things. Let me tell you, you are good enough. And you have to be on, like, you can't just like sit there with like being lazy on your phone all day and bitching about people and FaceTiming your friend for 4 hours and doing the bare minimum. You've really got to be doing the most you can do every single day, treating yourself with the most kindness, the most love, and just doing everything you can. You can only do your best. I always cough on podcasts. You can only do your best, and you need to know that like you can have all of this stuff and you can ask for all of this stuff, but you also need to actually be an asset to that person too. It can't just be like a one-sided relationship. You know, you've got to also be like asking them like, what do you want, and seeing whether or not you can meet their needs. Like, if they want somebody that's really loyal and really honest with them and, you know, supports them in their goals and stuff, like, it's like how you need to like understand like how in depth they need that. Like, so if you've got all of this stuff and you want to go around the world traveling for shows and doing like this, that and the other, and they need someone that's at home and with them all the time and focused on their business with them, but you've also got your own goals, then obviously you're not going to meet their needs and they're not going to meet yours, because they want you and you can't be with them. So you're like going to get annoyed because they need you more than you want to be needed. And so you're too relied upon. This has been a huge problem for me in relationships. A lot of men are, sorry, but like kids, they, you know, I think it's unhealthy to want like to be too relied upon. I know some women love this and they want to be like a man's obsession and his everything. But for me, like, because I have a mom that has been very full on, love her, wouldn't change her for the world, but one of them is enough. And I want someone that's going to cherish me and love me the way that my parents love me. I love it. But on the other hand, I am at the other side of the world, because for me, I found it quite smothering. And, you know, I feel like I need some breathing room to just like think and just like, just give me some time, like give me some space, let me breathe. And with that, for me, comes having my own thing. But I will be the best version of myself. And when I can do things in a way that allow me to be at my highest vibration, where I'm loving what I'm doing, I love my day, I feel like I've got everything together, everything's flowing, it's working, I'm passionate, I'm shopping, I'm doing all the things I love to do, I have extra energy to devote to a partner. They will get the best of me. So it's really important to know like how you are your best self, so that you can explain to them why you need to do X to help them. Because it's a relationship is a partnership. Like, you are not, like, you don't own each other, but you are partners. So you need to align on things. You need to know that, like, somebody, you can tell from somebody's, like, even Instagram, this guy will probably, like, be willing, and he will understand that, like, if we date, he will probably be okay to, like, provide me with the best wedding. He'll want that too. It won't just be something that he feels obligated to do. I would never want a guy to just be like, I love her, I want to keep her, so I have to do this. I would be like, I'd rather a guy that is like, no, this is actually how I envisioned it somewhat. Like, yes, I always wanted something lavish, something big, if it's like that. Or if you're like somebody that's more simple, yes, I really wanted it simple and really small and out in the middle of nowhere, just me and you. Like, there's all sorts of things. Like, personally, I want to have two weddings. I want to do it together in Vegas, and then I want to have like a proper massive wedding. And I've always said that I'm going to get married to the same person twice in very close together, but one of them will be in Vegas, you know, in the little Whitechapel. I have to do that, but I can't just do it with some random. I want to do it with my proper husband. And a lot of people just wouldn't really want to have those kinds of experiences. Whereas for me, I'm big on experience. So I need somebody that's like quite like curious about the world, but also somebody I can do those things with, and that they won't feel like, oh, this is like so pointless, and they just make it like a big deal or a waste of money. I just want someone that loves life, you know. That's the kind of person that I really want to marry, and somebody that's just a really positive force and just strong, you know. Those are all really good things for me. Just somebody that's strong and positive and just you can rely on, and you just know is just pure and honest and just up for the best of what life has to offer, and is trying to reach their highest self. I'm like telling you guys all my things, but those are some of my ideals, you know. That's just the type of person I'd want as my best friend for life, you know, because that's kind of what it is. And the other positives that came about was that I did become a much better version of myself. I seen things from a completely different perspective. I got to analyze the old self and just like, no, I can see things that I would never do, that I used to not really even pick up on, and things I used to say and things I used to believe and just things I used to appear like. And now I've sort of changed all of that, and I just feel like I'm really like becoming and in my best era ever. And the other thing I liked was that I didn't party, didn't sleep around, and I didn't listen to other people's opinions. When you come out of like a relationship or a long-term relationship, it's like the default thing to like always like kind of have friends and people and even exes come back and try and ask you to come back and like persuade you to like not lose like all this investment and just like get upset and emotional about all the memories. And 100%, like, I've thought about this and I've been there and I've like whatever, but I've never actually ever went back to any friendship or any cut connection or any ex, because I've never ever seen it ever work out positively. I think that's just like the biggest form of disrespect ever, to break up with someone and then have the I don't know what sort of personality type it takes to do this, but you've got to really be realistic as well if this is you. And I don't want to offend any of my own subscribers, but I just want you guys to think about it. Like, breaking up with people for attention or walking in and out of people's lives and just cutting people off or ignoring people, and it's like abuse, you know. Like, my mom and dad have never broken up before, and if I see my dad walk out with my mom or my mom walk out with my dad and then decide like months later or weeks later or days later to just come back and walk in and out again, I would feel extremely disappointed and unstable, and just ultimately like I would have very little trust in both of them, because I would be like, what are you doing? Like, it would just feel unstable and unsafe, and just I just don't think it would feel good. And so I've never witnessed that in my family, and if that did happen, like, I don't know how I'd feel about my parents, to be honest, because they've just been so stable and they never moved and they never did anything to like give us like any reason to doubt like that things would never be like solid in some part of our physical form. And I think that's one of the reasons that I would never go back, because you cannot disrespect anyone that's immediately part of your circle and just think, okay, this I'll just leave open for later, this person I'll block for now, this person I'll ghost. Like, all of these things are abuse. Like, that's all emotional abuse. And if you're doing it, or someone's doing it to you, or you're both doing it to each other, you need to make a decision on like how that's going to change, because that is abuse. And so for some people, abuse is familiar, stress is familiar. Like, they think that this is how people show they care, this is how you feel like things matter. No, Like, yes, you will be stressed sometimes. Yes, things will get hard sometimes, but there's this complete difference between stressful by disrespecting and stressful by and stressed by overcoming something together. Like, sometimes you need to think of like a relationship or a partnership, like my parents do, as an entity. And every decision that person one and person two make have to be to better the entity, which is the partnership that you guys have agreed upon. And although this is very businessy, my parents did this very well, because we were able to see how unity is the, and how not arguing and bickering and killing each other is the way to create stronger, more longer lasting, sustainable partnerships, and set a good example so that if I was to bring kids into a relationship, my partner that I would have a kid with would be explained this kind of structure. And that structure is what will create a strong family unit. And without that structure, you are going to have kids that could potentially be, you know, go off in all sorts of directions, because the example that they are being shown and they're modeling is something that makes them feel unsafe and unstable. So if you have something that you can trust and you feel safe in, and that you know is a good example, and you both can be great role models, and always think of the partnership as a venture together that you are both a part of in order to achieve the big five pillars of health that actually enhances each of each other's lives, then every single thing is possible together. It's actually easier if you respect each other evenly. It has to be like that, because otherwise, like, the guy will always lead the house, right? He will always be the one that's like the rock of the house. My dad's always the rock. He is the main decision maker. He is the one that will always be the provider. He's always looked after us. He's the one that makes sure that if anything was to happen, we are safe when he's there. And if he's not there, he will be there. And he will make sure that we are all safe. He's lived in a house with three girls. And so that's one man to three girls. And, you know, no backup. And so, you know, I've had such a good role model there. And you need a rock, like a guy that's extremely so reliable. He's not going to run away from challenges. Like, I could never imagine my dad running away from anyone or anything. He's just solid. And that's what you need to, if you're going to settle with someone and commit to someone as a girl. So you don't want to just give away yourself sleeping around or partying with, like, no offense, but losers and people that are not going to be in your life. You really want to reserve yourself to the best that you can for somebody that you think is likely going to fit that has those qualities, so that at least whatever you're investing in has some hope of leading to something better. And so you don't want to just commit to anyone. You want to make sure that if you are going to commit, depending on what stage of your life you're in, but if the possibility of having kids was there, you know them well enough. You've asked them all the questions pretty early on as well. You don't want to waste too much time. I try to ask a lot in the first meeting, and it seems full on, but it saves me a lot of time, because you have to put yourself out there. You've got to go for it. You've got to try and follow up any first dates with the second date, provided that the first one went well and you have a good feeling about them. You want to do that as fast as possible, because you need to see if it's actually chemistry is there, and you need to see if there's like anything there, because if there's not, and you need to know how this person kind of like relates and is responding to you and things like that. The other thing is, like, you can tell a lot by people's behaviors and patterns and stuff. The types of people that you have to friend zone are guys that don't call you. They just like Instagram you. They message every girl on the planet. Please just get rid of that kind of person. These are going to do nothing but cause you problems. I guarantee you they've never had a relationship, or they have a relationship and the girl probably is at her wit's end. Trust me, I have seen girlfriends of mine do this, and you just don't want that kind of guy. You need an evolved man, like a proper one. Good career, has responsibilities, has a legacy, has like also a guy that's going to be the best is one that is like he has a name, like his name he cannot let down, you know, that that also is a really good thing. Like, he respects and honors his company. He's got good family relationships, just all of that kind of stuff. You need to look for all of that. You can't just look for the guy that's rich, because if you're rich, it doesn't mean anything today. Every single guy is striving to be rich. Every single guy is kind of rich. Like, it doesn't mean anything in today's world. And if they're not financially stable, they're not obviously not going to be able to provide for you. And you don't want to be providing for a guy. You definitely don't want to do that. I would never do that. I've never done it. Never, ever, ever want to be in that position, because it's just going to drive you crazy. You're going to go into a masculine energy, and you never want to be in that energy. You can be a little bit, but you need to be primarily in your feminine energy. So you need like a rock solid guy, a really good one, like proper, if you're going to commit. And yeah, I think overall life is better. And with every change, you will experience new feelings and things like that. And it's really just good to journal and meditate and work on yourself and listen to podcasts like this or YouTube videos and just read books and educate yourself. But don't rush. Like, actually make and establish a list of like who you are and what you want to be attracting. And then just look at people's, like, ask them proper questions. Like, don't ask them questions about like, oh, what do you do for work? Like you can kind of tell based on like their communication skills and how they call you and things, if they've got like proper like ethics and morals and things. Like, proper successful men will never let themselves down. They treat everything in a certain way. And when people pretend to be successful, they act like losers or 18-year-olds, and they just text you with really poor English. And that for me is just such a turn off. You just don't want people that use too many slang words and just all of that. You need somebody that's like respectful of themselves and of you and puts in effort and communicates well and just, you know, says nice things about people and doesn't abuse like their exes or talk negatively of them and just understands, like, you know, the value of humanity. And also, if you're like young girl and you're dating a guy that's a lot older, you know, be a bit careful. Like, I dated a bit older in my first relationship. He was like 6 or 7 years older than me. And just a quick story time. So I was 18. And so at the time, like, we are both young still, like, but I did get to a point of that relationship where I looked at him and I thought he was pathetic. So girls grow up really fast, and when you date older, it's like, unless you have daddy issues, which I definitely didn't, but he was just popular in where I was from, and he was really good looking, and that's all that really mattered at that point. And for where I was in life and where I was from, he was really doing well financially. But now, you know, it's like very different. You know, everything's very different. And, you know, there was a day that I woke up when I was like 21 and I was just like, no, 22 or something, and I was just like, ew. So you want to be careful if you're younger dating older. And I always look at guys that do this and I'm like, these girls are going to look at you so pathetically, because you just realize, like, why do you have to date me? Like, I literally am 18 or 19 or whatever. Like, I don't know what I want in life. Like, it's like an easy in, you know. You can easily impress somebody that's younger. You can easily just tell them things that are like whatever, and you kind of just are so gullible. And then you start learning about the world and meeting new people and growing up, and suddenly that relationship's over and you actually find the love of your life. And you, well, not the love of your life, sorry about that, but you actually find somebody that you do love. And, you know, you have a proper relationship, and, you know, so you want to be careful with those situations. But, you know, it's really important to just, yeah, take time after a breakup, especially if you're a little bit older, and just really think about what you want and what you don't want. If you can't think about what you do want, list all the things you don't want and go and find the opposite. That's what I do. And you will find some good answers. And so, yeah, I hope this helped. This was quite long. And I've got to go now. So I will see you all in my next one. Bye.